Great. Okay, it's going to take a second, so.
That's okay. So, okay, hello. I'll just say Chamai, which is a little easier to understand. I'm Christine DeCourtney, and I'm with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium in Anchorage, Alaska. Right now, I manage the cancer program planning and development areas, along with palliative care is kind of my specialty. And it is an honor to be here. I'm actually presenting on behalf of another colleague, Karen Morgan, who really kind of was the key person in developing the Camp Coho. We also have Stacy Kelly, who is another one of my colleagues here. So it's good to be here all the way from Alaska. George talked about his cousins and things, so mine's kind of a little different story here. I'm actually going to be able to see two cousins on this trip. We all grew up in the same little town in Canada. And I have not seen my cousin John, who is now a professor in the School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. So he is from the town side, which was called the English side of town, which is where my mother's family is from. So I will get to see him. And then I fly to Seattle for a meeting, and then I will get to see a cousin from my father's side, and he is from what was called the Catholic Quarter in the town, which was the Indians, the French, and the African Americans. And so the town was an opening from the Civil War, from the Underground Railroad. So I will get to see Lori, and she has actually just retired from the Foreign Service, working in Eastern Russia. So it's all kind of, and I haven't seen either of them for many years, maybe 20, 30 years, so this is kind of a neat family thing. You know, George presented some of the background information about the difficulties in Alaska. The one thing he did not show on the map of Alaska is the road system, but there really isn't very much to show. There's only a few roads, and can you imagine if, let's see, one area, which was, for instance, where I worked for 10 years, the Southwest Alaska area, which is about the size of Ohio, and just imagine that the state of Ohio had 20 miles of roads, because that was the area. So that is how limiting the access to the road system, and pretty much everyone must fly to everything. When I was working at the Kanakanak Hospital in Dillingham, a maintenance man came out for specialty, and he said he'd kind of put the logistics in for Dillingham in his GPS and figured it would take him, 8 or 10 hours to drive from Anchorage. And so he decided to fly, but they would have taken him days by the time he walked on water, walked over mountains, and so forth. So sometimes people, even when they come, don't understand the significance of the lack. Also in Alaska, you know, elders have survived thousands and thousands of years, not by waiting for people to come to solve problems 100%. That the survival in a very, very harsh environment, and George pointed out some of the things, was due to innovation, creativity, and making do with what they had to help resolve a problem. Well, Camp Coho is one of those types of programs that there's really no grief services for children in Alaska's remote communities. In fact, barely enough for adults. So, when we came up with this need and this idea, you know, people said, well, you know, you can't do it. There's no point. There are no resources out there to support the children. And, you know, what is the point of doing this? But in reality, there's never going to be sufficient resources. So you have two choices. You try to come up with innovative models, or you just say, okay, then we won't do anything. And again, the people did not survive for 1,000 years by not doing anything. So actually, as a result of this camp, we had a very short 6-minute DVD made, which really tells about it much better than I can. So we're going to hopefully run it And then, you know, I can address a few comments afterwards. But this model, you know, when we talk about, you know, doing something innovative can really apply to many, many, you know, other cultures, other areas, people that do not have resources. And again, I just recommend, you know, you don't just not do anything. You figure out a way to address the need and go from there. So, Stacy, what do I do, or what do I just push? Pardon? Oh, this is too ingenious here. Okay. My goodness. The big triangle.
At the bottom of the gray screen.
Right here?
Even bigger, in the circle.
In the circle. Which one? Here.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Okay.
Is there a
fuzzy? Can I? Yep. A little fuzzy, but.
The biggest thing that I recall from that day was how little they were and how in the world are we going to be able to touch on their emotions.
My grandpa died 3 months ago. He died when my mom's man moved. He was helping my mom. That's when he died.
Among Alaska Natives, cancer has become the leading cause of death for adults. It's different from the general population where it's heart disease.
There is no system set up in remote villages to help children deal with grief and loss, so I think it's vital to the health and well-being of Alaska Natives overall. If you don't deal with that grief and loss, as a child, you will carry it with you, and as you get older, you can become more self-destructive. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be upset, to be angry, to be mad, to be lost. You know, they need to have those expressions. They need to have it come out. It's so much healthier for them to grieve. So to me, Camp Coho was something I first time I'd ever seen anything like that, and I was so impressed with it.
Camp Coho was designed for kids age 6 to 12 who, for the most part, lost a loved one, a very close family member, to cancer. And it was designed to help them learn how to cope with that loss.
Camp Coho was a grassroots effort for children from across the state of Alaska, and is endorsed by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. It's funded from a benefit that's held each year at the Alaska Field Center. It's our hope with the Camp Coho model that it will be transportable and can travel within the state. We'd like to develop an instructor's manual that others could take and tailor to fit their specific needs.
It's important to address grief in children because the children come to us in pain, it comes with anger, guilt, and many of these issues have to be addressed as children when they go into adult life with these issues.
Cultural appropriate types of things are extremely important. The circle is one of the key components to this type of camp. Obviously, because that's where the emotion is going to come out, and that's where they're really going to talk about what's hurting.
Many people revere the talking circle, and we didn't want it to be taken lightly. We didn't want it to be offensive to any elder who might hear about the program. And so we were very thoughtful about how to conduct a healing circle for Native children.
The significance of a circle is very powerful. For some reason, the circle brings unity, it brings a sense of comfort, it brings a sense of safety, security,
It brings a sense of being able to express things that you never thought you would say. Going into it, I was very scared whether if it was going to work. I'm used to working with teenagers. And so I had preconceived ideas of, you know, how in the world is this going to work with such small children? Children do know how to feel, and they do know how to express their emotion. I think we sell them short on that. I think it's really important to just understand that as little as they are, and as, you know, immature as their minds are, they do know how to express what hurts. And during the circle process of the Camp Coho, that was what some of the big buddies said. I can't believe I'm even talking about this. I'm so surprised that this is coming out of me. It's a safe place to say what's on your heart and what's on your mind, and you feel healed when you're done.
It meant a lot to me to listen to the children talk about the people in their lives that they've lost, how they want them back, and how special they were, and how they missed. It was a very special experience to be a part of.
I think to improve on the camp is just to keep offering it across the state, to take it out to reach, continue to reach more children. We have a good model, it's the same model that we use on the East Coast that we'll probably take across the country, and just to continue to help these children and to get them to reach out and to talk and express themselves.
It was a long process within a short time frame, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, and at the end of the day, when everything was done, you're tired and you're exhausted, but at the same time, you feel fulfilled that you've done something really great for children.
I came away feeling very blessed to have been part of it.
I walked away feeling like it was one of the funnest, most productive field of campings I've done in the past 8 years or something.
We are grieving, but yet, you know, we're still in the real world, and we can play and we can enjoy ourselves and still remember the loved ones that, you know, we lost. And I think that helps them a lot.
I think it's important that they share the experience at a young age, because it's part of life.
Clever. I'm just going to go through a few of these slides. We have loaded them on the internet, and you can look at them. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about kind of this model and how it's transportable, how it's important. You know, for that. And this was to help them share this the memory of the loved one. And we used, actually working with a woman who was a volunteer on the East Coast, and modified their one-day model to be culturally appropriate. For instance, one of the activities that is done is to build a memory box. And so she wanted to, you know, for us to collect catalogs and everything else, and pictures, so kids could cut out the pictures. And she says, you know, for example, if they, you know, if a little boy wanted to go golfing with his father, it was like, stop right there, you know, or whatnot. And so we obviously had to, you know, change and get some gender ones, but they don't go golfing with their fathers in Alaska. So, you know, we were able to get contributions from different magazines. There was an awful lot of planning that was involved in this. All these areas, and Karen Morgan really managed those in an incredibly short time frame so that we could go ahead with this program. And again, you can look at some of these on online if you choose. This was the one-day agenda. We limited it to 20 campers. Each small camper had a big buddy who went to an orientation, and they were responsible for that little buddy for the entire program. You know, some of the cultural considerations that we did do, and these are what are very important, because they were flying in. Karen called the families the day before to remind them to get on the plane that day to come to Anchorage. 4 minutes, okay, yes. And then they were all staying at the same hotel, the parent and a child, and the social worker was on site at the hotel day, you know, to try and make sure that they got on the bus. And then the parents had a free day because they could walk to shopping in the area, and so they could also connect with each other. And at the end of the day, they came and met with each other. I should just say that the change in the children, you know, from the beginning of that day to the end was incredible. And the, you know, two specific results. One was a brother and sister, and as their grandmother, because she was caring for them, came, the first thing she said to the little older boy, who was 8, make sure you take care of your little sister. And this was obviously a model, so halfway through it, it was obviously he wasn't able to connect with his own issues. He was worried about his little sister. So the big buddies nicely separated them so that they could each concentrate on their own issues. Another one was the oldest one. We were allowing 6 to 12, and one, the youngest one was 5, and the oldest one was 13. She came because her brother came. But she did not, lost her mother. She did not want to participate in anything. She did not want a big sister, a buddy. And she did not want to participate in the healing circles. She sat outside of them. She did get very involved in making a memory box for her mother. But she still chose not to participate in the circles or never talked. But it was very interesting. At the very end, she came down from her chair and sat on the floor. So people kind of gently moved the talking circle out so that she was included. And this was probably one of the biggest pluses of the day to watch that. And she very nicely, because she went up and lit a candle at the end of it for the one that you have lost. And she was up there, you know, and then very gladly took the box back, or the memory box back. And then the children were so happy afterwards, and the parents came in and they had backpacks and goodies for them. And then they, the parents were almost sad because the kids were so anxious to tell what they learned. And the follow-up has shown that, you know, some of the mothers have said that, you know, he's not getting in fights in school. He wants to talk about his father now. You know, they were given a book to take home, what you do if you're angry, instead of doing things. And so they had some kind of homework or things that they could go to. And the memory box they were encouraged to add to it. So even though, you know, there wasn't real follow-up with, you know, traditional resources of seeing a social worker, seeing a psychologist, this is a tool that indeed helped. Did I go backwards again? Yeah, here we go. What am I doing? Okay. Am I going backwards or something? Wrong one. Sorry about that. it is a tool. You know, and these were some of the things that, you know, that came up there with them. That, you know, and one boy who was kind of the oldest, you know, he ended up crying. And then falling asleep for several hours. But it was his uncle's, and he had been just told, you know, to kind of tough it out and do anything. And so he was the one that learned that said, you know, it is okay to cry. I learned that today. So Karen has also developed an instructor's manual that is for her senior project for her bachelor's degree. And we are hoping to offer this around. It doesn't cost an awful lot to present. The main thing is travel for the children. So this is the final that the camp format was formalized, and it took kind of the best of an established model of a camp and then made it culturally appropriate for this population, and it could be made, you know, culturally appropriate for any population. You know, the manual is a living document, and you know, a number of presentations have been made through tribal and national organizations, and so. Okay, and so here here is Camp Coho, and the participants. This was really Congressman Don Young's, there's one congressman for Alaska, Don Young, and recently his wife of many years died. And really there had been a fund that we were able to establish a few years ago that she liked very much, the Lou Young Fund for Children and Families Fighting Cancer. And it allows us to pass any kind of bureaucracy you can possibly imagine. And if a child cannot get home to their village, we can fly the grandparents in right away. We don't have to go through anything else. We, one fall, for children of parents who were, we knew that they were dying soon of cancer, we were able to get them nice backpacks with school supplies and warm hats and things. And another, a mother who was in the hospital dying of stomach cancer wanted to see her children. And so we were bringing her children in, but it was also Easter. So we made up several Easter baskets. And so when her children came in to see her in the hospital, she had presents for them of these Easter baskets. So this is a special fund that we do not, that funded Camp Coho, and it allows us to kind of bypass any specific rules, and this is how we were able to do Camp Coho and proceed with that. We have a small committee at the corporation, everything goes through it, so it's all financially correct. So if any questions, again, mainly it should be Karen Morgan, but we are happy to answer any questions for this. We felt it was a very important project and an effective one. Okay, thank you.